Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Mark chapter 6. And then I'd like to ask if they would put on the screen Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark 10, 45. I am determined that we're going to memorize this verse of Scripture. Y'all with me? Can I tell you this? We get to study the living Word of God today. Man, what a blessing. This passage has rocked my world all week just thinking about the conviction of conscience. But I want you to know that our series is entitled Straightway. It is a old English word that means immediately. If you have a more modern translation of the Scripture, you probably have maybe a New King James Bible, or you have an NIV Bible, or you have a New American Standard or ESV. It'll use the word immediately because Jesus immediately was at work. The Gospel of Mark, remember this, is a book of action. Say that, action. The Gospel of Mark is a book about Jesus Christ who is in action. And the Christian life is a life of action. And so I just chose this word straightway because it's an old English word. I'm hoping it'll lodge itself in your brain. And you'll remember it because it's kind of an unusual word. But many believe this verse of Scripture right here is the key verse of Scripture. If we had to memorize one verse of Scripture for the Gospel of Mark, it would be this. So I want us to say the reference, the verse, and the reference. I'll say it all together. Here we go. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Can anybody say it without looking? All right, I want y'all to work on that because I'm going to start calling on you. Have you ever been under conviction? Has your conscience ever, you ever had a conversation with your conscience? Our young people just went to camp. I remember sitting in a meeting as a teenager at camp, and my conscience began to whittle away and tell me I needed to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. It was as if I was the only person in the room, and guess what happened? The same thing that has happened to many of you, and maybe, listen, the same thing that may be happening to some of you this morning. My heart started beating. You ever been there? Man, I've heard testimonies of people holding on to the pew in front of them, man. I mean, white knuckle grips because God's Holy Spirit was speaking to them through their conscience. Well, for me, I was in that meeting and I was under conviction. My conscience was convicted that I needed to do business with God. I had to make a split second decision, it felt like. I had to decide, am I going to go with what I believe my conscience and the Holy Spirit is telling me to do, or am I going to go my own way? Would I listen to my conscience? Has that ever happened to you? I read recently about Bob Ebeling. Bob Ebeling was a NASA engineer who was working on the space shuttle Challenger back in the 80s. The Challenger was the first shuttle that on liftoff, it went up into the sky. And I remember this day, okay? Some of y'all, a lot of y'all in here weren't even born by 1986, okay? But I remember, as a matter of fact, I was a youth pastor, Chris, at this church. I remember being in the office and the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded. We turned on a television. What I did not know at that time was something that we have learned years later, and that is there was a battle going on in consciences in NASA. Listen to me. Engineers were saying the O-rings is too cold to send it up. They say we have not tested these O-rings, and there were four engineers. I read about this recently. You can find this and read about it yourself. There were four engineers. One of them was this man, Bob Ebeling, and he said, He said, we were talking to the NASA officials who had the authority, and we were saying to them, look, we have not tested those O-rings. Their consciences were saying, you better say something, you better say something, and so they did. But the PR people, the marketers, they were saying, we need this launch. We need this launch, and I know you're giving us those cautions, but we've never had that problem before, and we need this launch. We need it for the country. We need it for the image in the world that we can successfully send up the Challenger and go do our rendezvous and go do what we're supposed to do. And so the PR people won, and they sent it up, and the thing exploded, and we lost 7 astronauts. Can I tell you that I read Bob Ebeling has just come out public 30 years later. It's actually more than 30 years later now. It's 31 years later. He came out and he said, I still wrestle in my conscience. Did I do enough? 30 years. Now, some of the other engineers have come out and said, oh, yeah, we bucked them. We tried everything we knew to do, and Bob, you did okay. But this man is a man of faith, and he, in his heart, he said, Lord, you picked the wrong guy to be that engineer because I didn't have the gumption to get him to stop it. I wonder how many people have their conscience speak to them, and for whatever reason, they do not obey their conscience. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. There may be someone here today. It says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That says to me that if you, in your conscience, are feeling led to surrender your life to Christ, and you say, man, that's a big request. I make no mistake preaching to you that everyone in here ought to give everything they are to Jesus Christ. Lock, stock, and barrel. For whatever Christ has done for us, all that he has done for us on the cross, we owe him an amazing indebtedness that we should live our entire lives for Jesus Christ. That means, Lord, whatever you want me to do, the answer is yes. And so I make no mistake in calling you to full surrender to the Lord. And maybe you're here and you feel in your conscience that you are to surrender your life to Christ. The Bible says we can harden our heart. Now, you can turn here if you want to. I realize I hadn't read our scripture yet, but I want to read this to you. In 1 Timothy 1:19, listen to this. It says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Spiritually and in their life, they have shipwrecked themselves because they have not listened to their conscience. They have not obeyed what their conscience and the Holy Spirit has called them to do. Now, I want us together, myself included, I want us to honestly look and think together about our conscience, and let's make sure that we are sensitive to our conscience. I want us to look at someone powerful and influential in the Bible who did not listen to his conscience. We learn how we should respond to our conscience speaking to us by this passage, okay? So I want you to look at Mark chapter 6. Go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 14, and let me read it out loud and you follow along in your copy of the Bible. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. Talking about Jesus, King Herod. This was Herod the Tetrarch. This is not Herod the Great. This is the son of Herod the Great. And he was a regional leader in that part of the world at that time. And word about Christ had gotten to him, okay? His name had become well known, the name of Jesus. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah, talking about Jesus. It's Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, or is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. A prophet has come back. This man, Jesus, who's healing people, who's doing all this stuff. Verse 16, but when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. That is a very interesting point I'm going to make right there on that phrase, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. I mean, Herod just knew this was John, whom he killed, who's come back to life. Now, he's going to tell the story now. He's going to take a little abbreviation from the life of Christ. The Gospel of Mark is going to do that, and he's going to tell us the story of John the Baptist and how John the Baptist had been killed. Look at verse 17. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, the brother of Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Very interesting. Verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles. He gave them his own self a birthday party. Okay? That's the way he did it. And he invited the nobles and the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And he swore to her, he made an oath, whatever you ask me, I will give it to you up to half my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Boy, she didn't like him. John the Baptist was a godly man who told them the truth. And John the Baptist said to Herod the Tetrarch and said to Herodias, you should not be married. You've taken your brother's wife. You've disobeyed God. And he would not back up. So she had a grudge against him. And so she said, I want his head. Immediately she came in. This is Herodias' daughter came in with haste to the king and said, and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Verse 26, and the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. That's an interesting exchange. Verse 29, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. I want us to think about a man who's under conviction, a conscience under conviction, all right? And we're going to look at Herod the Tetrarch, okay? Number one, Herod's conscience convicted. In verses 17 through 20, in verse 18 it says this, look at it in verse 18. It says, because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John was a man of the word, and Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16 says this, quote, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You are not to do that. You are not to, that is being disobedient to God. And so he had him arrested. History tells us, Josephus the historian says, he was at Machaerus, which was a palace on the high ridge down by the Dead Sea. It was a beautiful palace, but in the bottom of it there were dungeons. And evidently, we don't know for sure, but evidently this party that Herod had where Herodias' daughter did that dance was there in that building, and down under that room were the dungeons where the prisoners were kept, and John was one of them. It was built as the boundary fortress for southeast Palestine and was surrounded by thick walls and flanked by towers 160 cubits high. Okay? 160 cubits high. Now, in verse 20, it says this. Let me look at verse 19. Therefore, Herodias held it against him. She held a grudge. Well, I tell you, grudges just simmer. That's exactly what, I tell you what, get free of grudges. Get free of bitterness. Bitterness is like a cancer. You lay your head on the pillow at night and say, there's not a person on this planet I don't love. There's not a person I haven't tried to make it right with. If I've done things wrong, I've tried to make it right. Do your best to do that. You'll sleep better. You'll be healthier. Let me tell you something, bitterness will eat you up. That's what was doing to this woman Herodias. She held it against him and she wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John. All right, look at that phrase. Herod feared John. Why? Because I tell you what, goodness is terrifying to evil. And John was an honest man. Look what it says. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and a holy man. You know what John was? John was what I want to be, and I pray that you want to be, and what we all ought to be as believers. John was authentic in his faith. He wasn't perfect, but he was a just, the Bible says, and a godly man. He was real. It was not phony. Well, there's one thing that is the worst testimony for Christianity, and it's just hypocrisy and phoniness. It can be seen through time and time again, but John was not that way. And you know what? Even this very powerful king, Herod, respected that. Can I tell you this? You authentically take your stand for Christ. And can I tell you this? Look at me. People in power will respect you. They will respect you. And those even not in power will respect you. If you are authentic and you're real and you love Jesus and you will not back down from what you believe, knowing Christ is the answer for life. And so Herod feared John. Why? Because John was a just and a holy man. He was authentic. And in verse 20 it says he protected him. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. Can you believe that? Now he had him arrested. Why? Because he had this wife, Herodias, who was always nagging at him. I can't believe you let John out there preaching. And so finally, Herod went and had him arrested, locked him up in jail. All right? But he respected him, and as a result of that respect, it impacted his life. Look at verse 20 at the end. It says, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things. Now, that phrase may be a little different than yours. It's a little bit, a rendering that's a little bit unique in the English New Testament. It really means he was very perplexed. Look at that phrase, and let's read it that way in verse 20. And when he heard him, he was very perplexed. I heard one commentator say this. He was in straits. Do you know what that means? In other words, man, he had him all knotted up. John was so real in his Christian life. He was so true to the Word of God. And let me say this. Herod was intrigued by John. As a matter of fact, it says there in verse 20, when he heard him, he was perplexed, or he was in straits, and heard him gladly. This indicates that Herod would go down to the dungeon to hear him preach. He would go down there and he'd walk in and who knows what he'd say. He'd say, hello, John. And John would say, Herod, I haven't changed my position. What you're doing is wrong. It's adultery. You've taken your brother's wife. It's wrong. Herod, why don't you repent? Why don't you turn away? And here he was. He listened to him gladly. He wanted to hear him. Can I tell you this? Perhaps John was really a breath of fresh air to this politician, this powerful person who had just yes people all around him. Can I tell you this? Aren't you blessed by just someone who has convictions? Someone who just says, look, I love you in Jesus' name. I love you, but I want you to know what you're doing is wrong. And you need to get right with Jesus. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. And John was that kind of a person. He was a breath of fresh air to Herod. Can I tell you this? The lost world really does want you to stand for him. I think deep down inside, those that do not know Christ are hoping and praying that you won't cave in. Because deep down in their hearts, they want to know that Jesus really is real. And he will change their life if they will turn to him. But now I tell you what, he didn't end up doing it. He didn't end up listening. His conscience was convicted. He would keep going down there and taking it on the chin. This was Herod. He would go down there and take it on the chin. And can I tell you this? There are people in our world today that they love good preaching. And as a matter of fact, they feel a little bit better about themselves if they get their toes stepped on and somebody kind of riles them up a little bit, and then they go out. And every once in a while, they feel like, you know, I'm just going to do a little extra. I'm just going to do that baby bottle thing, and I'm just going to go volunteer somewhere, and I'm going to write an extra check to help somebody that's in need. And they do that to appease themselves, but deep down inside, they have not followed through on the full conviction of what the Holy Spirit is saying to them to do. Maybe Herod just appeased himself a little bit by going down there. He was shacking up with his brother's wife all week long, and then he'd go out to the retreat on the weekend, and he'd say, man, I feel so guilty the way I've lived. I stole my brother's wife. And man, I've got this harem of women, and I'm doing all this partying, and it's my birthday. And he said, but before I get drunk and have my birthday party, I want to go down and let John beat me up a little bit with a Bible, just to make him feel a little bit better about himself. His conscience was under conviction, but number two, Herod's conscience was cornered. It was cornered. In verses 21 and 29, you see in this passage in verse 21, then on an opportune day when he had his birthday, Herodias, verse 22, Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced. And by the way, this was normally done by women of ill repute. It was done by prostitutes. It was not a good thing, obviously, at this party for these women to be doing these sensual dances. And any woman of rank like Herodias' daughter should have never been there. None of them should have ever been there, right? But particularly, they say this was offensive that this woman of rank went in and did this. Well, it was all part of the trap, and it pleased Herod and those that sat with him, and he said, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Then he took an oath. Isn't it interesting? So as soon as he said, I'll do it, whatever you want, up to half my kingdom, she went and asked her mom, and his mom said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Look at verse 25. This is interesting. It tells you something about this daughter. Like mother, like daughter. Look what she said. She added to it. What he said, what she said, what Herodias said to her was, verse 24, she said, what shall I ask? And the mother said, the head of John the Baptist. Verse 25, immediately she came in with haste, and she said to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist. Is that what she said? On a platter. Her mother never said that. She just added to it. She said, if we're going to do this, man, I don't want you to come in and say we beheaded him. I want you to deliver his head on a dish. The word platter is a word for like a dish. Hey, tell me the Bible isn't full of stories, man. I mean, can you believe this? You couldn't write this stuff and make this stuff up. But here's what happened: the Lord is using it to teach us. This woman said, "I want his head on a platter." And then I want you to see this verse, and we got to move on. And the king was exceedingly sorry. There's only one other time that word is used, exceedingly sorry, in the book of Mark. And it's used in Mark chapter 14, verse 34, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, he knew he was facing the cross, and Jesus himself said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. This was a deep word of sorrow. You know what happened to Herod? He was trapped. His conscience was cornered. And let me tell you what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to make oaths, to make commitments, and one day you're going to find yourself cornered to where you can't go any other way but against what God wants you to do. His conscience was cornered. John had respect for this man, but then he thought, what are other people going to think? And can I ask you this? How many people sell their souls because of what others think? How many people don't do what is right because of what others think? How many people get into a bind and their conscience gets cornered because of what somebody else is going to think? Their conscience tells them to obey God and listen to the Holy Spirit, but they miss it because of what some friend thinks. We must obey the Word of God rather than man. But Herod didn't do that. His conscience was convicted, first of all, but then his conscience was cornered, and he was exceedingly sorrowful. Number three, we're going to go back to the beginning of our passage because this was just a story of what happened previously. This is previous history. So now, number three, Herod's conscience is calling. He had been cornered, but do you know his conscience was calling him again? Look at verse 14, our beginning of our passage today. All this came about, this whole story about John and his beheading, all of this came about because of what Jesus Christ was doing in the world. And Herod still had John on his mind. And it says in verse 14, King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it's Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet. Or like one of the prophets, verse 16. But when Herod heard him, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. The word I there is emphatic. He's saying, I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who did it. I get the feeling it's like when Pilate was washing his hands. He was trying to get that guilt off of him. He goes, I know y'all think it's Elijah. I know you think it may be a prophet. Can I tell you this? This is John come back from the dead. He said, I'm the one who killed him. I'm the one who did it, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. All of a sudden, the knowledge of what Jesus was doing. John is dead. He's buried. All of a sudden, the knowledge of what Jesus is doing triggered in his conscience an event from the past. Can I tell you this? Sometimes insignificant incidents bring up something from your conscience. You know what it's designed to do? It's designed to bring you to repentance. It's your conscience calling. It's your conscience calling and saying, you need to turn. You need to turn to God. But he didn't do it. He didn't turn to the Lord. Remember, in your conscience, it starts with conviction. And then usually it takes a turn and your conscience is cornered and you've got to make a decision. Remember that your conscience is calling you. I wonder what would have happened if those who had the true decision-making ability had listened to those guys and not sent that space shuttle up. Hey, there's somebody on this planet, maybe they're out in eternity now, but there's somebody that really made that call. Those four engineers were saying, hey, it's not tested, we're cautious, we're worried about it. And this man that I referred to, Ebeling, to this day, he is obsessed with the fact that he did not make a big enough deal out of the caution that he had. Wonder, history could have been changed. Can I tell you this? History could be changed in you if you would let your conscience call you. So here's what I want you to do. Here's our takeaway today. You ready for it? What is your conscience convicting you to do? What is your conscience convicting you to do? Maybe you're here and you've never settled the issue. I am going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And you're like me at that camp. Boy, it feels like your heart's pounding a little bit. It feels like that God is wooing your heart to Him. And so often, Satan gets the victory because he says to you, put it off. But your conscience is calling. Maybe as a believer, what is it that the Holy Spirit is convicting you to do? Listen to your conscience. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.